Bless the Lord. As I said, it's a bank holiday weekend, and we're delighted to see you so many away today. Thinking of my brother Willie's away to sing down in June, down to Bangor, down in the Congregational Church there to sing tonight, and so many others are away, but we're glad to see you all this evening. Let's get down to the Word of God, shall we? Would you turn with me, please, to Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61. We're just going to read the first three verses of the chapter. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now the Lord will bless the reading of his own inspired word this evening in public. Shall we bow in a word of prayer, please? Ask the Lord's blessing on the word. Father, thank you on this bank holiday. You've brought your people out, and for those who are away, will you bless them? For Willie away to minister, would you anoint them and use them for your glory? But we pray, Father, for those of us who are here, we pray that thy word would find a lodging place in our hearts. You know, God, that your Son would be glorified. May your Spirit move among us, touching us as you deem it fit to do. Give us listening ears, understanding minds, and a heart to receive, Lord, your word. Glorify the name of Jesus. We ask it for his glory alone. Amen. The plantings of the Lord. I want to call this message this evening. Verse 3, at the end of it, it says that there are those who are being preached to here in Israel. And he says here of ancient Israelites that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon the prophet. He gives a list of things that the Word, the Spirit and the Word does. And by the end of verse 3 of chapter 61, he says that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, that the Lord might be glorified. The word here, planting, the planting of the Lord, and it means simply to plant. But it means and gives the idea of someone planting. So it's the act of planting. Now, if one plants a plant, then from that plant you expect it to flower or to bring forth fruit for which it was planted to do. A plantation is a planting on a larger scale, and one would expect much fruit to come from the plantation in return. Israel were a large plantation of the Lord, and Israel were the planting of the Lord, but the fruit was little in return. And this led to the pruning of the vine, and then to an uprooting of the vine, and a scattering, a throwing away of the vine. In Psalm 80 and verse 8, it says these words, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt," speaking of Israel coming out of Egypt, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and hast cast out the heathen and planted it. So here they're planted in Canaan land, the Holy Land. They're planted by Almighty God. Now, we won't turn to it this evening, but in your own time, if you want to see how the Lord cleared the land and planted them, you can see it in Exodus 23, verses 25 to 30. God removed all of the ungodliness and all of those who were there before them in order to plant the vine. Also in Psalm 80, in verse 14 and 15, it says this, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold," notice, "and visit this vine." So the vine is a symbol of Israel. "And visit this vine." I was thinking about that verse as I wrote it down during the week. "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, and look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine." We in Guildford, in this part of God's vineyard, we labor here, we serve here, and others wherever the Lord has them at that time, they labor and they serve. It made me think of the vine of our nation. It made me think of it as, and I have just simply written here, it says, "Visit this vine," and I have written below it, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Even so come to Ulster. We need you. Even so come to this island, to these islands across the United Kingdom. What the nation needs is for God himself in the power, the presence, and the person of the Holy Spirit to come down again, that he might turn this vine back to himself. That's what we all need, is that the Lord would visit the vine. In verse 15 of Psalm 80, then it says, "And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted," the right hand is the power of God has done it, the strength of the Almighty, "the branch that thou madest strong," notice, "for thyself." And it's the Lord who said to them, "Ye only have I known of all the families of the earth." In other words, this is God's elect. And here we find that they're saying, "Lord, would you come and visit us again?" May that be the prayer. May that be the honest cry of every one of us across our land, that God would come and visit us again. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, listen to what Solomon says. "To everything," verse 1, "there is a season." Notice, everything has a season. And then he says, "There's a time to every purpose under the heaven." So this time of this vine, there was a time for them. It's a time for the sinner to get right with God. And then he says in verse 2, "There's a time to be born, a time to die." That's the bundle of life. Time to be born and a time to die. And then he says, "A time to plant." That's what the Lord done. Solomon says, "We've been planted." And then he says, "And a time to pluck up that which has been planted." To pluck up that which has been planted. You go across a few pages here and from Isaiah chapter 61, please. Just to turn to Isaiah 5, chapter 5, please. I want you to see this planting of the Lord. I want you to see how this was all of him. It's all written in Scripture. And some of it was prophesying of the coming of Christ and how the gospel would reach us, the vine, here across Europe. We looked at how the Bible came, the Lord gave the word this morning, and how he sent forth the word across the West to Europe and across into our land. Notice Isaiah 5 verse 1. "Now will I sing to my well-beloved. A song of my beloved, notice, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. This is Isaiah speaking of them planted as a vine in Canaan land. Remember, it's meant to be the land of milk and honey. In other words, it's very fruitful. Verse 2, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine. You underline the choicest vine. And planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. So here he's speaking of the nation who are now bitter. Bitter in their ways, sinful toward the Lord. God had taken this choicest vine and planted them. And now they are like wild grapes and bitter toward Almighty God. Verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Notice, I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and shall break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it. Notice, he then defines the vineyard. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Now he heads this direction to the northern kingdom. He says, now you're known as the vineyard, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. Why a pleasant plant? For the house of Israel had went into sin, and they were scattered, taken away by Assyria. Shalmaneser the second came, and they're away approximately about 120 or so more years before the Babylonians came to the southern kingdom to take them away to Babylon. And so he's saying at this point, they're still a pleasant plant. They have some good kings and leadership, and they've got the temple there. Even though the temple was up and down at times. Say up and down, I mean spiritually. Notice this. His pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment, behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. So now the Lord is getting to a place, he says, I will take away the hedge of protection, and the enemies will come against you, and they will take you away. Do you ever wonder what is happening across Ireland, north and south? Do you ever wonder what is happening in Scotland, England and Wales, United States and Canada, across Europe? That hedge of protection, of blessing, that hedge has been taken away from this vineyard. That hand of God has been the restrainer before by the preaching of the gospel, by the exaltation of Christ, and by even the very fundamentals of the law across the nations of the West has been uprooted by man. And hence, we see it starting to lay waste. We see it starting to go to wreck and to ruin. But if you notice, he says, this vineyard is a choicest vine, and I built a tower in the midst of it. The tower was the house of David. The tower was the kingly line where Jesus would come from. He built a tower in it and a wine press. This is the temple. They had the temple in the southern kingdom in Jerusalem, where the blood of animals was shed, and where they showed they sprinkled the blood upon all of those parts of furniture in the tabernacle before God. And God had mercy on them. They were still under the protecting hand of God. And especially Ulster. I say Ulster because this was little evangelical Ulster. Ulster, which was, yes, there was murder and mayhem, left, right, and center. But the church was strong. The church was strong. And God kept it. It was the last bastion of the gospel in a strong way, in the strength of it. It was the last bastion in Europe to hold fast for the word of God. The hedge has certainly been removed. The hand most surely has been lifted. And now the enemy has come in like a flood. But the Lord says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up, raise up a standard against it. What is that standard? Once the ministers behind the pulpits get back to this, rather than their programs, rather than their comedies, rather than their jokings, I believe Ulster will turn around again. I believe a revival is going to come from the south of Ireland. I believe there's going to be so many ushered into the kingdom and right across the United Kingdom at that. Notice, if you will, here, this is a choice vine. It is planted, and the Lord said, I will remove my hedge from about you. That happened in time, in history. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah is a little bit closer to this event happening. Jeremiah is a little bit closer to it. In other words, history has unfolded here. And now we're a little bit closer to the house of Judah. The northern kingdom is now gone. The southern kingdom here is still in Jerusalem. But the Lord has called time on the southern kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 2, just a couple of verses for time's sake. Let your eye run down, if you will, to verse 21 and verse 22. For of old time I have broken thy yoke, and burst thy bands. And thou saidest, I will not transgress when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Now, understand here, Israel has been married to Jehovah in Exodus 19. They are his bride, his wife. And he says, you're now playing a harlot against your husband, the Lord. You're playing a harlot. Verse 21. Yet I had planted, notice, a noble vine. First of all, they're a choicest vine. Now they are a noble vine. Holy, a right seed. Then here's the question. How then art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. Here's what God is saying. Now you have went so sinful. Your iniquity is before me. If you wash yourself with soap and water all the time, every day, you cannot wash away your iniquity, he's saying. You're like a harlot, like a wife who keeps on cheating on her husband. That's what God's saying here to Judah, to the southern kingdom. And so he says, I planted you a noble vine, but now you are a degenerate plant of a strange vine. You're a degenerate plant of a strange vine. So when we read the words, the choicest vine and the noble vine, they are the same Hebrew word, sorach. And it gives the idea, and this is important, gives the idea of a reddish, purplish grape juice. Gives the idea then of someone who has this ability to make wine which is blood red. And hence this is the wine press of the Lord now. He will crush them. And even in Revelation 19, he comes back with his garments dyed in blood red. Not his own, but the Christ rejectors. Stay with me on this. So the choice vine, then the noble vine, is the same word. But now listen to this in Genesis 49, away at the beginning of your Bible. Genesis 49, the end of the first book, coming up to the end of the first book. Verses 10 and 11. Here, old Jacob, he is giving the blessings to each of the 12 sons, the patriarchs of the tribes. And listen to what he says, Genesis 49, verses 10 and 11. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Verse 11. Take note, binding his foal unto the vine. Remember what the vine is now. Binding his foal unto Israel, the vine. This is prophetic. A way, way before all of this happened. And his ass's coat to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes, notice, in the blood of grapes. You're a choice vine, he says. A noble vine. A Sorach vine it is. And you, he says, you will come out as blood upon the garments of your enemies and the wrath of God. That's what happened. Their sin couldn't be washed away. Just like your sin and my sin can't be washed away. But by the blood of Jesus. Our stained garments of our sin, our own blood, as it were, upon us at judgment when a man and a woman is outside of Christ. Take note, if you will, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. So the scepter gives the idea of leadership and kingship. The lawgiver means there's someone who has written the law. And so he is the one who can only keep the law. Until Shiloh comes, and Shiloh means he whose right it is. In other words, he whose right it is to reign. And away back there, old Jacob prophesying over Judah. Who we're speaking of here? Over Judah. And he says, listen, there will come one. And he will bind, as it were, himself to the vine. Do you remember before Passover, the week coming up to it? Remember they had the Passover supper then at the end of the week coming up to the Passover where Jesus would be crucified? And he goes to his disciples and he says, go into such and such a city, he says, and you'll find a coat which is what? Tied up. Tell the man there, I'm paraphrasing, the Lord hath need of him, and bring him to me. And Jesus comes in, riding that coat, that foal, which was bound to Israelites. Perfect picture and fulfillment. But then in the spiritual, he binds himself to us. As the gospel comes, to find the lost sheep. He binds himself to you and I. So here we find He who's right it is the rain. He's the law giver. He's the law keeper. And he is the one who is the leader or the king sitting upon this little foal. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 21, please. Matthew 21. And this is that story that we spoke of. Jesus sends them forth. By the way, it says in verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, the scepter one, one holding the scepter. Listen, the Lord says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. And there was a remnant of Judah when he came. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and of coal, a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him thereon. And the very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna. That's what we sang tonight. Hosanna. Notice, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're singing in the multitude, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, over and over again. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, over and over again. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, Hosanna means save, O save. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. And so we find then that Jesus here is fulfilling of Genesis 49. As Jacob had said in earlier years. So we have the choicest vine, the noble vine, which is the same idea and the same word. But in Jeremiah 2 and verse 21, he says, you are now a degenerate plant. The degenerate plant means, it's a word sur, and it means to turn aside, to be removed, to depart from God. Are you ready? It means you have become sour grapes. We have that, don't we? We have that saying today. Where do you think these sayings come from? That's sour grapes. Jehovah is saying to them, I've planted you, choice then, noble vine. But you've become a degenerate, a plant. You're bringing forth, you're a sour plant. You're producing sour grapes. And then he says you have become, notice, choicest vine, noble vine. You've become a strange vine. A strange vine. Notice here he says, Jeremiah 2 and 21, yet I planted thee a noble vine, a holy right seed. How then art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? See this word, strange vine. It's the word nokri in the original text. A nokri means you've become foreigners. Strange, isn't it? You're like foreigners to me. You're from another family. Not the Israelite family that I chose for myself. It means you've become alien. I don't mean from outer space now. In other words, there was an admixture had come in from other peoples. He says, you're not what I planted. Sour grapes are coming from you. Sour grapes are coming. And you're a strange vine, like a foreigner, an alien. You're like from another family. I don't know you, in other words. Is it any wonder Jesus, when he comes? And the Lord Jesus said that there will be those that he'll say, depart from me, I don't know you. Sure, you know everybody, God. Jesus, you, in your omniscience, you know everyone. Yes. But the idea is, I don't know you as a husband knows his wife. I don't know you in an intimate fashion. It's the idea of this. And so the Lord here is saying, you're like a foreigner, an alien from another family. And this word nokri is found in 1 Kings 11 and verse 1 when Israel split into two kingdoms because of Solomon's sin. And you can read that in chapter 12. But 1 Kings 11, it says, and Solomon loved many strange women. It doesn't mean they were a bit cuckoo, a wee bit doolally, or, you know, eccentric. It means they came from Egypt, and Ammonites, and Moabites, non-Israelites. And he says, and it's the same word, that's who you've become. And Israel, in many of occasions in their ways, when they're lost, are known as Gentiles. Israelite of the flesh, but Gentile in their way. So, we have the choicest vine, we have the noble vine, we have the strange vine, and then if you want, we have an empty vine. Hosea chapter 10, please. Hosea chapter 10. And verse 1. Now, Hosea is a prophet to the northern house of Israel before their captivity, before they go away. So Hosea, the book of Hosea, although chronologically in your Bible, Hosea is after Isaiah, after Daniel, and Daniel is away in time after Hosea. You know, literally, it's not written in chronological time, you see. Hosea was away before. He was coming up close to the time of Isaiah, but he was to the northern kingdom. He mentions the south, but he was to the northern kingdom. And notice what he says here. The Lord says through the prophet, Israel is an empty vine. This is the northern house of Israel. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. In other words, he has become full of self. He's become selfish and sinful. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased altars. That was idolatrous worship. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Now take note, their heart is divided. Nor shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we fear not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely, and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of their fields. Now, you farmers might know what that means more than me. But when the plough came and ploughed a furrow, sometimes hemlock came into the furrows. And when hemlock came into the furrows, it was poisonous. And the Lord says, every furrow that you have ploughed and said it was in my name, or even ploughed in the name of another God, he says, there's poison in it. You're full of poison. You're an empty vine. Imagine God saying that about you. Yet every sinner stands before him, just like these sinners did. All I can see here is Israel. All I can see here is our nation, is our people, worshipping everything and in sundry. Went to Belfast City Centre yesterday for the first time in a long time. And Alison and I walked around. We came out of Victoria Square and we got to Corn Market. And there's thousands of women. I don't know, there were hundreds of them anyway, wasn't there, Alison? There's a queue, twice the length of this, maybe longer, of this tent, maybe 10 deep. You know, where's all these women coming from? And they're all dressed up and dolled up and, you know, flower bagged and everything, you know. And we're walking the full length of this. And it took us forever walking. Like, what's going on with all these women? You know what they were doing? They're all queuing to go in to a woman-only event. I don't know how the place would hold them. And I stopped at the end of the street and I said, Alison, can you imagine if that was a queue of women going in to worship the Lord rather than to this debauchery? Could you imagine if it was a queue waiting to get into church on the Lord's day? Can you imagine what would happen to our land if we were like that for the Lord? I couldn't get over it. I've never seen so many women together in my life. It would make you nervous. But here they're queuing up. Israel, as it were queuing up. They're a noble vine, a choicest vine. They've become a strange vine. Now they're an empty vine. But there's one more about it as well. Turn with me to Revelation, please, 14. In this chapter, there are those who have our Father's name written on their foreheads. Now, it doesn't say Father or God or Jesus or whatever. It means their mind has been transformed. It's been renewed by the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord. And they are singing a new song and they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are redeemed from among men. So they're singing unto the Lamb. This is the whole theme. And then it changes. For verse 12 talks of the patience of the saints are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. That's men and women like you and I, just exactly the same. But let your eye run down, if you will, to verse 15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap. For the harvest, notice the harvest of the earth is ripe. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Now take note. And another angel came out from the altar, the place of worship, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry, unto him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather clusters of the vine of the earth. So here now is the vine of the earth. For her grapes are fully ripe. In other words, whether they're bitter grapes or sour grapes, they're fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Here is the vine of the earth now. So this vine is changing the whole way down. But before this, Revelation 14, vine of the earth, there's one more. In all of our sin, in this part of the vineyard, in all of our sin, there's one more. And it's found in John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. There's one more. And in verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. My Father's the one who planted the noble vine, the choicest vine, becomes a strange vine, scatters it, We the vine. The gospel comes through Christ to look at us, to see us in our sin, to see us in our idolatry, in our places of worship. See us in our sin in the streets, in our hearts. He says, I am the true vine. Vine. Jesus is saying, I am the true Israelite. I'm what every Israelite should be. And my Father is the one who planted it. Then he tells them, paraphrasing again, time's running out. He tells them what? That if you abide in me, you will bring forth fruit. If you abide in me, you will bring forth fruit. Matthew 21, please. Strange for a Sunday evening, isn't it? But I know really everyone, and we're saved. I'm not going to preach the gospel to save people unless there's maybe unsaved people in. But nevertheless, the gospel's here. That you must be saved, or you're under the wrath of God. So to teach God's people, just to go a little bit deeper with that. Revelation, what did I say there? Sorry, Matthew 12, 21, didn't it? Matthew 21. Just let your eye run right down. The Lord talks then about the fig tree. And he curses the fig tree. Verse 18, now in the morning he returned to the city. He hungered. Matthew 21, 19. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. The fig tree is a symbol of Jewry, J-E-W-R-Y, the Jews. It was Judah, away in Jeremiah's day, as they're going to be carried away. The Lord says, Jeremiah, there are good figs and there are naughty figs or bad figs. The good figs will go into Babylon and I'll bring them back again after 70 years, which he did. But the naughty figs will stay behind and refuse my word. So now a fig tree is likened unto those of Judah, or pardon me, the Jews. And so Jesus sees it. There's no fruit. It has leaves. It's promising looking. But he gets up to take fruit off it, and again, there's no fruit on it. Let's read on. Verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and thou be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now listen, charismatics take this somewhere, way out somewhere else. The mountains here isn't you pray on a mountain, a literal, you're not going to pray and move the more mountains. The mountains here are governments where God's people in Christ will start to believe him. And as the governments are against his people, as time goes on in history, coming up to our present day, it says these governments will oppress you, will bind you, will cast you into prison. And so it is to take authority and pray against the wickedness that's going on in government. Against the wickedness that they're bringing forth. That's the mountains. Mountains, but there are literal mountains, obviously. But mountains also give the idea of governments and of nations. Talks about when the Lord returns, the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Trees don't have hands, unless you know a tree that I don't know. If you've got a funny looking tree in your garden with two big hands, has anybody here seen a tree with hands? It's because it isn't what it means. It means the nations of the saved of Israel will redeem, the covenant nations will clap their hands rejoicing to see the coming of Christ. The nations will clap their hands. Take note if you will. Let your eye run down. So he's talking about this fig tree. And then it says, in verse 33, he says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged round about it and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country." Jesus says, speaking of himself, he will die, he will rise, he will ascend into glory, he will return. "Went into a far country, and when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son," speaking of himself, "saying, 'They will receive my son, reverence my son.' But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize his inheritance.' And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" AD 70, he destroyed the place. AD 70, the temple was torn down. What will he do to the husbandmen? And think of today, of the Christ rejecting. What will he do today? Verse 41, "They say unto him, 'He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him fruits in their season.'" Now listen, I'm going to finish in a minute because time is gone. I don't want to keep you too late. It says here that he will destroy those wicked men. That's AD 70. Titus came in, destroyed the temple. It's said that up to 2 million, whether that's the true figure or not, were either captured or killed. Of the Jews were captured or killed in AD 70. "And will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen." Who are the other husbandmen? The northern kingdom who have went on, who have been scattered throughout the nations of the west. Hence, the word of God, the apostles, the gospel coming west to us. And we are the other husbandmen. Who has printed the Bible? We looked at it this morning. It's been us. Who has sent forth the missionaries? It's been our nations. Who has propagated the word of God? Who has went and to countries that needed, whether it be hospitals and education and roads and so on? Yes, there's been bad in places. I wouldn't doubt that. I don't deny that. But we have been those who brought forth the kingdom fruit. Who did he let it out to? To you and to me. And Jesus says, "Occupy till I come." We're occupying the kingdom until he comes. And we render unto him the fruits in their season. Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builder rejected, the same become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes." Now you notice, he's speaking to the Jewish leaders here. Notice, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you." Many preachers have you heard mentioning that ever? Nobody. He's telling them, God's going to take the kingdom from you. "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits." That is the northern kingdom. The word nation is the word ethnos. It's not the church. Church is ecclesia or ecclesia. It means the called out ones. But ethnos is where we get ethnic from. That's where we always hear ethnic minority and so forth. People of the same ethnic background. Who is that? "Those other sheep that have I, which have not of this fold," he says to them. And hence Jesus is saying, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Jesus says to them, if you fall in repentance, on this stone that you rejected, who is Christ, if you fall upon the mercy of God, if you fall on your knees in repentance before him, if you fall and repent and give your life to him, he says, you'll be broken. That's what the sinner must do. This isn't a case of, ach, well, I'll give him a try. I've had a million of them. And they walk away thinking I'm saved, and there's no fruit. There's no follow-up. There's no faith. Jesus says, fall on this rock and be broken for your sin. That's what he's saying. This isn't mamby-pamby stuff for the master. This isn't make he learn. This isn't give him a try. This is repent. He says, if you fall in the stone, you'll be broken. But if the stone falls in you, well, that's a different story, isn't it? I'd rather fall and skin my knee and my hands than the big rock fall on the top of my head. That's what he's saying. Now, note this. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. They knew he meant them. The fig tree was them. The vineyard taken was from them. And they knew it. And they started to get together in their little conflabs of how they would destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. We could say he claims to be God, that he said he would destroy the temple. And hence they do that. And the Romans took him at their behest and killed him. I'm finishing. Psalm 1, please. I want to bring this to a personal level with you before we finish. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Notice, here is the blessing from being planted in the Lord, by the rivers of water. That's a planting. Be planted in the word. It says, it bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Then he tells us of the ungodly. What will happen to the ungodly? Psalm 92, please. Psalm 92. Let's just lift out a verse for time's sake. Listen to what it says. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Do you know why a whole lot of people don't do a whole lot well in God? Because those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. See, nowadays it's a case of, we are the church. You don't need to go to church. Listen. The Bible also says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And the reason people aren't planted in the house of the Lord, they have no fellowship as the week goes on, and they soon become weak and fall away. So here's to be planted in the house of the Lord shall be flourish in the courts of our God. Jeremiah 17, we're almost done, promise. Jeremiah 17. This is a wonderful chapter. Read it when you get a time. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Notice, it's always about fruit bearing and fruit yielding. The vine was planted for bearing fruit. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you'll bear fruit, and so forth. Of course, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, saith the Lord? I the Lord, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I search the reins, and so on. He looks at the heart for the fruit. So there's planted in the word, you're planted in the house of God, you're planted again in the trust of God, trusting God, and then lastly, Romans 6. Romans 6. Let your eye go down to verse 5. Paul writes, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Planted in Christ, as Paul says, for a better resurrection. We're planted in Christ, and the fruit of it. James talks about the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath patience for it. You're the fruit of the earth. You're the one whom God brings forth as fruit. It's you, brother, it's me, and we are in Christ. Planted in the word, planted in the house of God, planted in the trust of the Lord, planted in Christ. The plantings of the Lord. May God bless his word. We're like a study tonight, just because I know we're believers. Try and get us a little deeper in the word. There's a lot more to that. I'd love to bring you another level down, but maybe some other time. There's so much more out. I'm going to look at it another time. Lord bless you. Team, as you come up, please. Praise the Lord. Let's give on to the Lord then.